You're listening to Mind Over Motherhood.
Welcome to the Mind Over Motherhood podcast, your new favorite show for all things mindset, motherhood, and mental health. I'm your host, Dr. Curly Crew, a mom of twin girls, modern-day nomad, and MD psychotherapist specializing in women's mental health. I believe that life is full of challenges that can hold you back from being the best version of yourself and living your most incredible life. Your mind shouldn't be one of those things. So listen in each week as I share practical tips and expert strategies to help you manage your mindset, improve your mental health, and be the woman and mother you've always known you could be. So grab a cup of something delicious and let's dive in. Welcome back to the podcast. I am super excited for this episode today because when you're listening to this, I will have just arrived in Mexico where we are going to be spending the winter. And I'm recording this right now in Nova Scotia and planning ahead and anticipating that I might be a bit busy settling in. So I wanted to take the opportunity to record this episode on guilt. Because guilt is something that I see in my clients so much. And I'm just going to say the majority of the guilt that women feel in their day-to-day lives is inappropriate guilt. So in this episode, I want to break down a little bit about guilt. What is appropriate versus inappropriate guilt? How we can know if our guilt is appropriate or inappropriate? And then what we can do about it. Okay, so like, are you somebody who feels guilty all the time? Like, do you feel like you're just run by guilt? Some women do, right? Like you feel like, oh, I can't do that. I'll feel so guilty. Oh, I had to say no. I'll feel so guilty. I couldn't help so-and-so. I felt so guilty. And if you're feeling guilty all the time, is it ever when you have done nothing wrong, right? Like maybe you think you've done something wrong, but you actually haven't done anything outright wrong. Also, do you sometimes feel like you're a bad person after you make a mistake, right? Because there's a difference between guilt and shame. So we're going to break that down as well. But honestly, so many women I work with are plagued with chronic guilt. And so such an important episode. I'm really excited to share it. So let's dive in. So guilt and shame are both two really powerful negative emotions that can have really damaging effects on our self-esteem and mental health. To be honest, all of our emotions have evolved in our bodies and minds because they have served an important role in our species. So, brief little, you know, side note about emotions. When I talk about emotions of any sort, I'm never talking about eliminating them completely because emotions give us such valuable feedback. Emotions are really valuable messengers. And our tendency as women, as human beings, are to resist all of our emotions. We don't like feeling them. We'll actually resist our bad emotions. We're okay feeling the good ones like love and happiness and joy, but we're not okay often feeling the painful ones like guilt, like shame, like sadness, like anger, right? And so this little side note is just to remind you that all emotions are welcome, right? We may not enjoy them, but we will survive them. And it's actually learning how to develop emotional resilience skills and emotional regulation skills that will help us have more positive experiences when we do experience emotion. And what I mean by that is we can't just work to eliminate emotions, right? Even the bad ones like guilt and shame, because truthfully, they do serve an important purpose, and they often have served an important purpose. So I actually have an entire course coming out on emotional regulation and how emotions are created and where they come from. But all emotions have served an important purpose in the evolution of our species, right? And so even guilt and shame. So guilt evolved basically when it's appropriate, that is, appropriate guilt evolved to tell us when we have done something wrong that may put us at risk of being ostracized or kicked out of our community, for example, right? So I often reference back to, say, like primitive days when we were hunter-gatherers. Guilt served an important function because if we did something wrong and we could potentially be kicked out of our tribe, that would be very catastrophic for us, right? being in social groupings is part of our survival and has been for a really long time. So guilt evolved as a way to motivate us, right? Emotions motivate our behavior. So guilt evolved to motivate our behavior to remedy the error so that we could, you know, reduce the risk that we would be kicked out of our community or ostracized. Okay, so that was the original evolution of guilt. The evolution of shame is different from guilt. So shame actually tells us that rather than doing a wrong behavior, shame tells us that we are bad in and of ourselves, right? And shame is definitely a more painful emotion often. Shame is when we internalize the behavior that we've done and we internalize it and say that we are now bad human beings. And even shame to a degree motivated us, again, in hunter-gatherers, primitive cultures, to change our behavior so that we would be accepted, again, so we would remain in community, okay? So when we feel shame, we often fear that, like, being ostracized or criticized or removed from our community. So it motivates us to try to change things about ourselves, and it feels really terrible, right? And so today I'm not going to dive into shame, but I'm going to dive into guilt, because guilt, both of them are very painful emotions to feel, but guilt is definitely, I think, more common in the population I work with and in my audience, and probably shame. But I wanted to dive into guilt today specifically. And like I said, many of the women I work with are like chronically plagued with guilt. Like, they feel guilty all the time. And if you're reading, pardon me, listening to this and nodding your head, then you're listening to the right episode, because it's not really fun to feel guilty all the time. And there's some really typical things that I see in women who experience a lot of guilt. And I hope that this episode will shed light on them and how you can shift those patterns. Okay, so I'm going to give you a lot of information in this episode, so you might want to download it, save it, maybe even take notes as you're listening, or come back and take notes, because if you're somebody who's dealing with a lot of guilt, this is going to be an episode that's going to change your life. Okay, so when does it make sense then for us to feel guilty? And I've often asked my clients, you know, like, if your child, when would you want your child, or when would you expect, you wouldn't want them to feel guilty, but when would you expect your child to feel guilt, right? When would you expect your child to be motivated to apologize? And most people will say, well, like, when they did something wrong. Exactly, right? So it's appropriate to feel guilt if you have done something wrong. And this is where it actually gets a bit muddy for most of us, is because often the behavior that we have engaged in is not inherently wrong, but we have been socially conditioned to believe that it is. Okay, that's important. I'm going to remind you about that again a little bit later, but I'm going to repeat it. So when we feel inappropriate guilt, it's often because the behavior we have done is not actually a wrong behavior. We have actually not caused harm or done anything intentionally wrong, but we have been socially conditioned to believe that that behavior is wrong. Okay, and we're going to dive into what some of those behaviors are that cause a lot of my patients to feel a lot of guilt. Okay, so if you've actually harmed someone, like if you've hit their car with your car, or like you purposely said something mean to upset them, or you physically harmed someone, then yes, absolutely, you should feel guilty because you have done something wrong. And that guilt will serve a really important role in motivating you to remedy that situation. It will cause you to say an apology. It will cause you to make amends for your behavior, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Okay. But like I said, inappropriate guilt is felt in the absence of a true transgression or error, and only serves to make us feel bad about ourselves, really, unnecessarily. And guilt, inappropriate guilt, can really be a behavioral loop. So if you're familiar with my book, I talk about behavior loops. And inappropriate guilt is one of them, where it's almost like an automatic conditioned response, and you can be so often stuck in guilt that you don't even notice you're stuck in it anymore. So really important to recognize. Okay, so like I said, most of the women that I work with, I feel like it's chronic inappropriate guilt, and they perceive their behavior as being wrong when it's not. So why does this happen? So if you've ever worked with me, you've probably heard me tell you that I think of our brain as a computer, right? And when we were little kids, we had little computer brains. And the little computer brains were using information from our environment and others around us, like how the adults of our species behaved and what they communicated to us and how they loved us or didn't love us, how they treated us, etc., right? Using all this information from around us to develop some kind of like operating programs or like systems that would help us, our little computer brains and our being, survive and operate in the world as a human being. Okay. So it's almost as though we were downloading all these programs into our brain in the young stages of our life. And this downloading can even happen like through adolescence. And I think even still to this day, some of us download programs as adults, right? Depending on what we're exposed to and conditioned with. Okay. You know, for example, I won't go into this, but for example, if you're in like a really abusive, traumatic relationship, you can download a new program in your brain of how to keep yourself safe. And that could result in a lot of people pleasing and mistrust, et cetera, et cetera. Okay. So we can learn these programs in adulthood as well, but I like to think about it in childhood. And so these programs are designed, again, to keep us safe. And when we speak to safety, again, that reminds us of these primitive needs that we had. So to be in community is the one that is relevant for guilt, right? And so these programs are created when we're told how to behave or not to behave. How, when we're told, you know, what's appropriate for a woman or a girl versus not appropriate, how we're responded to when we're assertive or set boundaries, how we're responded to as a child when we experience emotions or anger, etc. So when we had these experiences as a child and we experienced some sort of response from our environment, our brain learned, okay, that teaches me whether I can do this or not. Okay. So some of the programs, actually most of the programs that we pick up in childhood, like if left unexamined, we will continue to live them out as we grow up and into adulthood. We will continually have these computer programs that are playing out. So like when I do a certain behavior that as a child I was told was wrong, I will feel guilt because that behavior is, I've been taught it was wrong. Okay. This is totally fine if it's like being aggressive and violent physically, right? Like if you struck somebody and then you were told that was wrong and you experienced guilt, that's appropriate, right? So these programs are not always bad. But if, for example, you experience an emotion of anger and you were shunned or criticized or made to feel lesser than because you expressed your emotion, you will forever remember that feeling of my expression of emotion is wrong and I should feel guilty about it. Or if as a child you were assertive and advocated for yourself and someone gave you shit for it, or heaven forbid you were hurt because of it, your computer program or your nervous system basically has learned that asserting myself is bad, I should feel guilt because I am not safe when I do that. Okay? So some of the things, I've referenced a few, but like some of the things that we often learn as children are not okay, or as young adults, or as adult women, truthfully, we've learned that these things are not okay, or the things that we should feel guilty for are things like disappointing other people. Okay? This is a big one. Many of our parents and their parents, it was unacceptable for a child to disappoint an adult. If a child disappointed an adult, the child had to remedy the behavior. So now, as adults, anytime we disappoint, specifically a parent, but really anyone else in our life, we will feel intense guilt because we have never been told or taught that it's okay for others to be disappointed, because it is. It actually 100% is okay for other adults in your life to be disappointed, okay? And I say that to my kids all the time. It's okay if mommy's disappointed. That's mommy's job, not yours. But our parents and their parents often didn't say that to them. So we've been conditioned to believe that disappointment is not okay when our, you know, our parents or somebody who's in charge of us or anyone in our family is disappointed. We've learned this is not okay, and thereby we need to remedy it and we need to feel guilty because it's a problem. But actually, disappointment is okay. Disappointment is a human emotion. So speaking up or advocating for ourselves, we could have learned that that is bad, right? Because of something that we learned, maybe you were in an abusive childhood, right? Which you would have a whole host of other trauma responses in that case, but maybe not. Maybe just speaking up for yourself, you were, you know, told that children were to be seen and not heard, or that women didn't speak up for themselves, or whatever messaging you received, right? putting ourselves first, okay? So I want you to even just think now, were you ever told as a child not to be selfish and to think about others first? And then if you ever did actually ask to put yourself first or do something for you, or you, you know, were relaxing instead of doing something for others, were you ever told that that was selfish and wrong? Right? Because if you were, your nervous system learned that, okay, so putting my needs first is bad, thereby I should feel guilty for it. And then it becomes an automatic reaction when you do that now. Okay? Causing conflict is a big one for a lot of people. We are so terrified of conflict because we've been conditioned that it is not okay. When truthfully, all healthy relationships have conflict, right? It's just often that we have not been raised in families where conflict was modeled in a healthy way. So if you grew up in a family where conflict was not modeled in a healthy way, conflict is something that's terrifying. You cannot cause conflict. Conflict is bad. You feel guilty if you cause it. That's kind of the pathway, right? So super, super, super important one, okay? So this is where like being assertive and advocating for yourself and setting boundaries, if it causes conflict, it causes intense guilt in a lot of my clients because they're like, oh my God, conflict, I caused it. That's so bad. Bad things happened before when there was conflict. That means I'm bad, right? That means I should feel guilty and shamed. Upsetting other people, this goes with the disappointing thing. I'm going to tell you this straight up, okay? And I want you to listen to this. You are allowed to upset people. Other people are allowed to be upset. Other people are allowed to be disappointed. It is not your job to fix it, okay? This is something that we would all do so well to learn, and something that I work so hard to teach and instill into my children, is that somebody else's emotional experience is not your responsibility. So if you were to advocate for yourself, set a healthy boundary, and somebody is upset by it, that's okay. That's not your responsibility, okay? So you don't need to feel guilty about that. But it often is, and many women, truthfully, a quick aside, many women know that the guilt they're feeling like doesn't feel like it's accurate. Like they're like, well, I shouldn't really feel guilty though. Like one part of their brain is like, but all I'm doing is putting myself first. Why do I feel so guilty? So there's like this kind of mismatch between their emotional experience and their logical understanding of the situation. And that's really important to recognize, because your logical interpretation is correct. It's just that this is a habitual reaction of your nervous system, of your brain computer, right? It's just playing out that same program that it learned way back when, okay? And then like expressing an alternate opinion sometimes, which is again being assertive, sometimes those things we feel guilty for, okay? So this basically is why now when you do any of these things, right? Or when you don't help someone, that's another one that I kind of forgot to add to the list. This is why when you do any of these things as an adult, your nervous system reacts with this emotional experience of guilt and you feel guilt. Okay? It's like an old computer program just repeating itself. Or the other analogy I've often used is it's an old record and it just keeps spinning. Right? We have to shut off the record, or we have to change the record, put a new record on the record player, so that we don't feel those emotions as a reflex anymore to these behaviors. Okay? So this is all very well and good, right? Now you're like, oh my God, my guilt is just a conditioned response. Like, yes, hallelujah. How freeing is that, right? Which is really good. But it has to go a step further from that, because there's other things you have to be aware of. So understanding that your guilt is a conditioned reaction means that you have to understand your emotions are not always accurate responses to a situation. Right? So your emotions are automatic reactions to the environment, but that doesn't mean that they're accurate. Meaning the fact that you feel guilt doesn't mean that you're actually supposed to be guilty or feel guilty. Does that make sense? So emotions are not facts, right? So it's really, really important. And so now that we need to recognize that the guilt that we're feeling is inappropriate, but we need to recognize and question when we feel guilt, so that we can be intentional about how we transform those emotions and learn new ways, like kind of build new nervous system pathways, new computer programs, so that we don't experience guilt when we do these things that are not actual wrong behaviors. Okay, so what does this look like, right? So like I said, when we feel guilty, most of us are just in this automatic habit of believing like this is valid, I should feel bad. I did something wrong, I should feel bad. And now, if you have that experience, you're going to be like, wait a minute, Carly said something about this. So we actually have to pause and use our mindfulness skills when we experience the emotion of guilt. And we have to, again, using mindfulness, step back and observe what's happening in our situation, right? We need to look at the environment and we need to ask ourselves, have I done anything wrong in this situation? Okay. Is it possible that this guilty emotion is an automatic reaction to the environment in my experience, but may not be accurate? And that, my friends, those questions will be the gateway to freeing yourself from inappropriate guilt. Because once you can say, like, wait a minute, maybe this is just an old record playing again, and guilt is like, yeah, I feel it, I have the experience in my, I know what it feels like, and I'm feeling guilt, but like, is this accurate? No, it's not accurate. I haven't really done anything wrong. Great. So now that we've identified that your guilt is inappropriate, what are we going to do about it? Because it's one thing to be like, hey, my guilt's inappropriate, and to still feel crushing guilt. Like, that's not fun. So thankfully, there's some great skills and great tools that that some of my therapy schools teach, or some of the schools of therapy that I work with. So dialectical behavioral therapy being one of them, teaches us to transform emotions or to change emotions when they are not accurate responses to the situation. Okay. And so one of these is something called opposite action. Okay. So I'm going to break down that skill. And I love this skill. It's super handy, super handy. But just stepping back. So if you struggle with feeling chronically guilty, the next time you feel that guilt emotion, which is probably common for you if you're listening to this episode, I want you to just pause, right? And think about what's happening and ask yourself the following questions. Have I intentionally or consciously done something bad or hurtful that I truly shouldn't have done? Do I feel guilty even when I'm not causing harm to anyone else? Okay. Does the behavior I feel guilty about actually violate my moral code, right? Am I actually hurting someone? Am I actually doing something bad, or did I pick this up, right? Another great question I love is, who told me this behavior was bad? Where did I learn this behavior was bad? Where did I learn I should feel guilty about this? Okay. Casting doubt on the accuracy of your emotional experience is the first step to releasing yourself of inappropriate guilt. Okay? So, I want to step back a little bit, talk a bit about emotions so that you can understand this tool of opposite action, because this is incredibly helpful. It can be used not just for guilt. It can be used to transform any emotion that you've determined as inappropriate or inaccurate to the experience you're having. Okay? So, stepping back, so emotions, all emotions, like I said, serve to motivate our behavior. They have a couple other purposes, but the one that we're going to speak about today is serving to motivate our behavior, which means that all emotions have what's called an action urge, okay? And if you think about this, you're likely able to produce some action urges of the most common emotions that you experience. So the action urge of anger is to, like, you know, approach and deal with the situation. You get angry, you get aggressive, you know, you want to solve the problem, you want to act out. These are the action urges. Whereas like the action urge of anxiety or fear is to flee away from something, move away from it, avoid it, those sorts of things. Those are the behaviors that follow from emotions, okay? So if we were to speak about guilt, I want to ask you, what are the most common behaviors you take or actions you have when you feel guilty? So when you feel guilty, most of us are really motivated. We apologize excessively. Okay. That's a really good red flag for feeling inappropriate guilt. If you're constantly apologizing every single time you open your mouth. Okay. We are motivated to make amends for the error, correct the wrongdoing. We may have a kind of slouched, shrunken posture. We may avoid eye contact with others. Depending, you know, on what we did, we may not talk about it at all. Like, we might avoid bringing it up. We might kind of speak in a soft, small voice. We try to avoid drawing attention to ourselves, right? So that's what a guilty person acts like. That's the action urge of guilt, okay? So if we want to transform the emotion, we can lean on what's called the model of emotions, which I will not bore you with, but basically the model of emotions goes over all of the different components of emotions, and our actions are part of it. So our actions can serve to influence our emotional state, okay? And our behavior can serve to influence our emotional state, meaning we can change our emotional state by changing our actions, okay? So if we wanted to transform guilt to not guilty, right? How would a not guilty person act? So if you did something and you did not feel guilty about it, how would you behave? So most likely, you would not apologize. You would not slouch. You would sit up nice and tall. You would hold your head up high. You would put your shoulders back. You would speak in a confident voice. You might even talk about what you did because you have nothing to be ashamed or guilty for, right? It was nothing, there's nothing wrong. You didn't do anything wrong. And not only that, but you'd probably repeat the behavior again because you didn't do anything wrong. You have nothing to feel guilty about, right? And so when we are in the moment in our days where we experience emotion, we identify it as guilt, okay? We ask ourselves, is this appropriate, inappropriate guilt? And we land on, this is inappropriate guilt. I want to change this emotion. I want you to then act like you're not guilty. Act like a not guilty person. That's basically the skill of acting opposite. And if we act opposite to guilt enough, we will start to help our computer programs, our nervous systems, to change. We will start to feel less and less guilt every single time we feel that or we do that behavior, right? So taking a really practical example, let's talk about somebody. I'm going to give this lady a name. Her name is Mary. So say Mary struggles with feeling really guilty. She's trying to start a self-care routine, and like her guilt is around being unavailable for her kids. For about 30 minutes, she takes some time every morning and she meditates and exercises. And she feels really guilty about this. She's like, oh, I'm not available to them. This is really not good. So she's asked herself these questions. She's identified she's experiencing guilt and that it's probably inappropriate. And she doesn't think she should feel guilty about that because there's really nothing wrong with that, right? That's probably old conditioning that she picked up, you know, in childhood or young adulthood, that told her that she has to be always available to her kids and et cetera. Okay. So now she says, okay, this is inappropriate guilt. What do I do? So now you're going to decide to, she's going to decide to reduce her feelings of guilt, and she's going to act opposite to guilt. So instead of stopping her self-care routine or changing it, she's going to keep doing the exact same behavior. She's going to wake up every single day and she's going to do the 30 minutes. She's going to take her time away. She's going to, right? Because she's not done anything wrong. So she's not going to stop the behavior. She's going to continue the behavior. She's going to maybe even talk about it, how amazing her self-care routine feels and how it's so nice that her kids can be independent when she's away for those brief 30 minutes. Right? She maybe tells other people about it really proudly because, again, if you felt bad about something and you felt guilty, you wouldn't do that, right? She holds her head high. She feels proud of herself when she does her morning routine. She commits to it as best she can and is as humanly possible for her, right? And she starts to find her guilt lessens and lessens every day, okay? This is how we reduce the chains of guilt that you feel. Okay, so this was a very complicated episode, but I just want to summarize for you, okay? So you can feel guilty and it can be an inappropriate or inaccurate reaction to the situation, okay? Often women I work with feel guilt about a behavior that is not actually wrong, but has been taught to them as being wrong. And they've picked up that conditioning in either childhood, adolescence, even adulthood. Right? Or their previous experiences have taught them that that behavior is something they should feel guilty about. And so now they do because it's an automatic programmed reaction of their nervous system. If we want to transform guilt and reduce feelings of inappropriate guilt, we need to first question, is our guilt appropriate or inappropriate? And use our mindfulness skills to check in with our bodies. And then we need to act like a not guilty person. And we need to do it over and over and over again. Okay? You've likely had this deeply embedded guilt habit for a while. So it follows that it's not going to be like, 3 days. and the guilt's gone. But I promise you, if you're consistent and you're intentional about identifying your guilt as inappropriate and then acting opposite to it and behaving like a not guilty person over time, the guilt will have less and less control over you. I hope this is helpful for you. Please feel free to send me comments, questions, share this episode on social media if you found it helpful. If you know of women who are struggling with chronic inappropriate guilt, please send it to them because they need to hear this sort of stuff. And thank you so much for listening. As always, reach out to me on social media. I would absolutely love to hear from you. And I hope you have a wonderful rest of your week. Thank you so much for listening to Mind Over Motherhood. If you love this episode, it would mean the world to me if you could take a screenshot, tag me, and share it on your socials so I know that you're listening. If you have questions or concerns about anything I discussed in this episode or have ideas for new episodes, please reach out to me. I would love to hear from you. Catch you next time.